I greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. Privileged to be here this morning, the house of God, and knowing that God is good all the time. I was really blessed with that verse on the board, or the saying, and thank you to whoever did that. God is the ultimate salvage artist. He loves to restore things and make them even more beautiful. Now, that was a real confirmation to me this morning for the message. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. For a text verse, I've titled the message this morning, The God of Hope. And if we look at that, we see how God takes broken things. When we give him the pieces, he puts them together, he restores them and makes them even more beautiful than ever before. Romans 15:13 says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. You feel that this morning. Looking out at your faces, I was observing and I was seeing, we were singing that, I'm pressing on the upward way. I was seeing hope and joy and worship on your faces, and that blessed me to see that. God is a God of hope, as it says here, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. So that is God's desire for us, is to have hope. The Proverbs writer says something like this, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You know, when you have something that you're hoping for, an expectation to receive something, you know, maybe us as parents make promises to our children sometimes, and we can't deliver for some reason, and, the hope is lost. And I had to think of Paul when he was on that ship, and they were driven of that south wind. It went out in spite of what Paul had advised them to not do. They went on and sailed anyway. And it says after many days, it says all hope that we should be saved was lost. But then the Apostle Paul, after long abstinence, he came to them and he said that, take courage. He said, eat some food here and take heart, because there was an angel that stood by me and he said that none of us are going to die in this, but we're all going to be saved. And he said, I believe God. And to me, that is a real thing. When we think about hope, is that we have faith. And it talks about that in believing. He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. When we think about having hope, it's kind of hard to have hope if we don't have faith, isn't it? The two are so closely entwined and joined together. And in 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse, it says, Now by the faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. And I think of that when we think about faith, when we come to a place where we don't need faith anymore, when we see God, we enter into his presence in heaven. Now we're seeing through a glass darkly, it talks about earlier in that chapter. But then it says we'll see him face to face and we won't need faith anymore. In the same way, when we have our hope realized, when we receive that thing that we were expecting, that we were looking for, we have realized our hope, then we don't need any more hope because we've now realized it. So, and I think that's why it's saying that the greatest of these is love, because God is love and God is eternal. So we know that in heaven there will always be love, even though we won't need faith and hope anymore, because we'll be there. We'll have arrived and we'll have realized our hope. So in that sense, we could say that hope is not eternal, but that hope is for here and now. Because when we get there and we realize our hope, then there's an end to hope. And I guess in some sense we would, I don't know, there's things that we'll be expecting to receive when we're in heaven too. I'm not sure. But nowhere in the Bible could I find the phrase eternal hope. There are a couple scriptures that talk about the hope of eternal life. In Titus 1:2 and Titus 3:7, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. in Romans 8, 24 and 25, it talks a little about what I was trying to say here. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So right now our hope is heaven, is to see God, to see Jesus Christ, to be with him forever. And so we have something we're hoping for. But when we realize that, what this scripture is saying, the hope that is seen when we see God, we have that hope right now to see God, the expectation to receive that, when we achieve that and we see God, we see Jesus Christ, then hope comes to an end. And we don't need hope anymore. And we'll just abide in that love forever, the love of God. I'd like to look at Numbers chapter 21 just a little bit. You don't have to turn to that unless you want. In verses 4 and 5, the children of Israel, as they were going, they had a victory where they had won a battle, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. That's Proverbs 21, verse 4. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Where was their hope? And, you know, what was happening here? They had been brought out of Egypt, out of bondage in Egypt. They had been brought to the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea for them. He put the pillar of fire between them and the army of Egypt, and he protected them from the army of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea on dry ground. And when the Egyptian army tried to follow, their chariot wheels came off. They had all kinds of trouble, and they couldn't make it through the sea. And the sea closed in over them, and they were drowned. And they sang that song of victory. And God continued to put the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to guide them. The God of hope was with them. Why was it that their soul was discouraged? Let's look at the thing of the soul for just a little bit. Our soul consists of our mind, will, and emotions. So where was their spirit in this? We consist of body, soul, and spirit. Where was their spirit that God was ministering to, that the God of hope was in their spirit, but they were going by what they were feeling in their soul? And who were they listening to? I mean, look at what they said in verse 5. They said, there is no bread. And yet they contradicted themselves because they said, our soul hates this light bread. They had bread, right? And they were saying a lie. And they said, there's no water. But what happened when they didn't have water? Moses, you know, talked to the rock or struck the rock, and the rock opened up, and there was water came gushing out. And as far as I know, maybe that water's still running today. I don't know. But God supplied their needs, the God of hope. So who were they listening to? Michael said something about, you know, a believer being negative. I appreciate that devotional this morning about positive thinking. That was another confirmation for the message. You know, positive thinking is a good thing. It has its limitations. But when we put positive thinking and we put Jesus Christ, we put the power of God behind that, the power of love behind that, it is like having positive thinking on steroids, if you will. It goes away beyond positive thinking. And when we add hope to that, the God of hope, we add that to that, you know, it takes us above and beyond just a thing of positive thinking, which has its limitations. So the children of Israel here, having the God of hope leading them, the confirmation of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, cloud by day, fire by night, and they were saying, it's just horrible out here. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to bondage. How many times do we do that exact same thing in the spiritual sense? We say, the God of hope that's in our spirit isn't sufficient for us. We want to go back into our sins. We want to go back into our old life. We want to go back and do the old things we used to do and serve Pharaoh and all his demons. Satan and all his demons, which would be a type. Pharaoh and the taskmasters there would be a type of Satan and his demons. And we say we want to go back into that bondage? God forbid. God is a God of hope. God takes things and he restores them and he makes them more beautiful than ever. All we need to do is just give him the pieces. It's so simple, friends. It is so simple. God is a God of hope. So where did those lies come from? Speaking into their soul, where did it come from? The enemy, the father of lies. You know, so many times we go through life, and Luane was talking about, you know, going to the town when we're stressed out and, you know, putting a smile on our face. So many times we go through life, you know, like we've got the weight of the world on our shoulders, like we're sucking on a dill pickle on each side of our mouth, and, you know, it's just barely can make it. You know, we can just barely get one foot in front of the other. It's so hard. Life is so difficult. Where does that lie come from? You know, I believe God wants us to expose the devil's lies. Satan is a liar. Fear is a liar. He is the father of lies. No, there is no reason for a child of God, a believer, to be discouraged, to say that there is no hope, because God is a God of hope. And when we say that, we're listening to the lies of the devil. We're listening to the enemy, the one who wants to destroy us. And you know, that's exactly what he wants us to do. He wants us to believe that it's too hard. You know, when we have that attitude, we're going through life, we're just barely making it. He comes and he whispers here, yeah, you're not going to make it. You just can't do this. This is just too hard. You can't make this. That's what he wants you to hear. That's what he wants you to believe. But God says, I will make a way for you. And God honors our will. God honors our will. When you say, I will hope in God, I will trust in God, I will have faith in God, you insert the key and you turn on that engine and you connect with the whole power of the God, the creator of the universe, the power of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. You agree with God and you cancel, you repent of those agreements with Satan, with the enemy, and you agree with God, and God fills you with hope. It talks about abounding in hope by through believing. When you believe God, you choose to believe God, even if you don't feel like it. What does God do? He gives you that hope. He gives you power. He enables you. He is a God of hope. And we say he can't do it? Well, guess who created us? Well, guess who created the heaven and the earth? Guess who walked on the water? Guess who stilled the sea? Guess who cast out the demons? Guess who defeated Satan and destroyed all his works and made a way for his people? Whosoever will may come to the tree of life, to the river of water of life, to the throne of God, to walk in power, to have hope, to have comfort, to have joy, to have peace, to abound. And it talks about the lively hope that he wants us to have, a hope that is alive and that is flourishing and is to the glory of God. That is what he wants us to have. In the class, brother was talking about depression, about a situation with a baler that wasn't working. You know, I think we could all identify with that. I know yesterday when I got to work, there was like, you know, customers waiting. It seemed like the things were just overwhelming. There was too much going on. You know, I wanted some peace. I wanted some quiet. And there was this thing that rose up within me that, you know, was going from being angry and from being like, you know, this just can't be, like a victim. All this stuff going just why. You know, all this stuff is happening to me and I'm just angry at all this stuff happening. And God reminded me, you know, that is not coming from him. How long does it take to go from that attitude, that angry, that complaining, that murmuring spirit that the children of Israel had, the complaining spirit? That's what brings us to that place of discouragement, that place of no hope. When we grumble, we complain, and we murmur, and we gripe. How long does it take to go from that place to a place of thanksgiving? I say less than a minute. When we come to God and we disagree, we say we cancel that agreement with Satan with the enemy. We say, God, I'm sorry for complaining. I repent of that. I'm sorry for being angry at you because I know you are right. And we say, I'm sorry for that, and I come to you and I want you to show me what you want me to feel, what you want me to know right now. And God says, I am a God of hope. I'm a God of love. I'm a God of peace. I'm a God of joy. I will give you everything you need. I will supply all the needs that you have. I will give you all those needs. And we come to a place of, wow, God is a good God. God is a God that I can thank, that I can walk in thanksgiving. I can walk in gratefulness. I am thankful for what God has done for me. He restores my hope. He restores the joy of my salvation. He is my God, my Redeemer, my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I walk in that. And in less than a minute, you can go from being discouraged because of the way to being rejoicing in the way. It's like the Apostle Paul. You know, don't be upset because I'm going through tribulations. Rejoice in that. It's for your glory. And I'm willing, I'm happy to do that. I rejoice that I can do that. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And I thank God that he gave me this thorn in the flesh, that I can experience this because it's to the glory of God. And the grace of God comes and empowers me and enables me to walk in that, to walk in newness of life, to put on the new man, and to walk in the new man, which is created in true righteousness and holiness. I don't have to be without hope, because I belong to the God of hope, and I can abound in hope through believing in what God says. And what God says is true. It is truth. And I'm delivered from Satan and all of his lies. I don't have to go in that anymore. I don't have to walk in that anymore because I'm delivered from that. You know, how many of you have seen that video of the people that were stuck on the escalator? If you haven't seen that, I think that's one YouTube video that you should watch. Going up the escalator stops. And, you know, will somebody, this thing has stopped. Will somebody help us? You know, so many times we're like that in life. Where are we stuck? You know, what's wrong with lifting up one foot and putting it on the next step and going up? Well, I don't feel led to do that. Well, feel that little fishing weight I gave you the other Sunday, and you'll feel led. Feel led to do that, to move. Sometimes we just need to turn on our will. And it's amazing what happens when we do that. And God says, I will carry you. I will take you. I will make a way for you unlike anything you've ever experienced. We don't have to wait for somebody to come and get us out of our little victim shell, because God made a way. The God of hope made a way for us every time. You know, sometimes we come to situations like that, and it's because of our own choosing, our own choices that we made in life. So I think one thing we can look at is, when we're in a situation like that, is this something that I can thank God for? And if it's not, then it's something to repent of. In other words, because we brought that on ourselves, on our own pate, because of choices that we made. But if it is something that we can thank God, like Paul's thorn in the flesh, and he could thank God for that because God's grace empowered him in that, because Jesus was exalted because of his weakness, and Paul could thank God for his thorn in the flesh. But when it's just something that's coming to me because I'm like the children of Israel, I'm murmuring, I'm griping, I'm complaining, can we thank God for that? Mm-mm. That is something to be repented of. That is something to say, God, I'm sorry for that. I've been agreeing with the enemy. I've been agreeing with the devil and his demons, and I'm sorry for that. I repent of that. And I choose to agree with you, God. I know you are right. I repent of that. I'm going to enter your kingdom. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to trust my hand in yours. It doesn't matter what. I will trust you. In our Sunday school lesson last Sunday, we had the verses there in Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. He says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But he gives us hope. He goes on the next verse. In verse 14 he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'm sorry, that's verses 12 and 13. Thought that didn't seem right. Which side of the butt are you on? We notice how the butt changes everything. He says that you were strangers from the covenants of promise, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now today we are living in the new covenant, the new dispensation. We're not like the Gentiles who were on the other side of that but, where it says, but God, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know, sometimes we live like we are on the wrong side of the butt, where Jesus hasn't come yet and Jesus hasn't made a way for us yet, and we live in that way when we forget that he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We forget that he gave us the empowerment. We forget that Jesus went to the cross and he destroyed the works of the devil, that Jesus rose from the dead, he resurrected from the dead. Paul's plea was that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death, being willing to suffer for Christ. And we forget that, you know, sometimes we live in that way, like, you know, this hasn't happened yet. And that destroys our hope. Because when we look at it on the right side of the butt, we see that this has already happened, that Jesus already made a way for us, and that we have no reason, we have no excuse to be living in that despair, in that defeat, because Jesus made a way. He is the God of hope, and we can abound in that hope. I had to think of, as I was thinking about this message, I had to think of Paul Wagler. Years and years ago, I can just still remember him, hear him telling this story, and I don't remember the horse's name, but there was this horse that he had. And when he wanted to pull something, he said that horse, you know, he would pull with a will, and he would, you know, hunker down, and his hindquarters would, skin would wrinkle up, and he would lean into that harness, and with a will, and he would move that, whatever it was he was needing to pull. And that's, I believe, the way God wants us to be. You know, that horse, in a sense, he had the hope that he could make this happen, the expectation that this was going to happen when he leaned his weight into it, and with everything he had, that this was going to happen. And that's the way it is for us as believers. When we lean into Christ, into God, in the thing that the will of God for our lives, and we say, God, I'm dedicating my life to you, everything that you've given me, my marriage, my children, my family, my house, my vehicles, my money, everything you've given me, I'm giving that to you. I'm leaning into your will. And I'm going to hunker down on the right side of the butt, and I'm going to give it everything I've got for you. It's amazing how God makes that hope be realized, and he makes that happen for us, because he empowers us, and he meets us there over halfway, and he makes a way for us to move forward in hope without discouragement, because he makes a way. Psalms 42 verses 5, 11, and then 43, verse 5. Very similar scriptures. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He asked a question. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why was the soul of the children of Israel cast down? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. He said, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, when we just look at it, why do I feel this way? Why is this thing disquieted within me? And we lose hope. We forget to turn to God. We forget that we are on the right side of the butt. That Jesus has finished a work on the cross. That Jesus has made a way for us. That Jesus has empowered us. That Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. And that we can listen to God. We don't have to listen to the voice of the enemy anymore. And we say, I will trust God. I will believe God. I will have hope in God. I will yet praise him. Going from despair to praise, going from discouragement to hope, to comfort, from griping and complaining to thankfulness and gratefulness, from unhappiness to joy, from turmoil and chaos to peace. You know, Satan tries so hard to bring us to a place of confusion where we lose all hope. But the Holy Spirit ministers to us. He says, peace, be still. He makes a way. He said, there is hope. In the midst of all this confusion, there is a way. And I like the illustration a preacher once gave of the straight and narrow way. He said that the broad way is like, you know, broad and wide, and it's coming down. But the straight and narrow way is going right up through the middle of that. Right up through the middle of that confusion, going the opposite direction. And I like that. There is hope in that. There is comfort in that. And we believe that. We can buck the tide. Not of ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. Romans 13, verse 14, it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And we envision yourself having put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are walking, you are moving, you're going through life, you're doing the will of God, you're fulfilling the purpose that God has for you. And outside of you, Ralph talked about that aura that Peter had about him, and when his shadow fell on the people, that the people were healed. And when you have that envisionment and you see yourself as being in Christ Jesus, you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are walking in him, and outside around you in a big circle is Jesus Christ, and people you come in contact with, they feel Jesus Christ, they see Jesus Christ in you, and Jesus Christ is exalted and God is glorified because you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are unstoppable, and you are moving forward in Jesus Christ, and you have hope, and you know that God is the God of hope. And you walk in that. That's what he's saying here. Don't make provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in that, in victory and power. And God is glorified. You have received the Lord Jesus. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ? Knowing that you were a sinner, you were condemned to hell. Have you cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ? And when you did that, God answered that prayer, that sinner's prayer. God put that life of Jesus Christ within you. You have received him. Walk in that. Believe that. That you can abound in hope, as he says in our text verse. The God of hope is able to make you increase and abound. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, he says. He will strengthen us with might by his Spirit in the inner man, he says. In our Sunday school lesson today in Ephesians 3. And we think about that as we go through life and, you know, things get confusing. Things come at us thick and fast and we don't understand. Sometimes we need to go to Hebrews chapter 6 where it talks about having the full assurance of hope. About the immutability of God's counsel. Something is immutable is something that cannot be changed. When God says it, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. It can't be changed. That's the way it is when God says it. And that, he says in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 6, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We are anchored in that. And no matter how hard and how thick and fast things come at us, we look at the God of hope and we anchor our soul. Our soul doesn't become discouraged because of those things, but we anchor our soul in that hope in the God of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the provision that he has made for us. And not for us only, but all those who love his appearing, he says in the scripture. He has made a way for us. We anchor our soul in that. And when he talks about the helmet that, or the armor of God that we should put on, it says that we should put on for an helmet, the salvation for an helmet. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8 is a scripture just a little different. And he says, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. We have that helmet. We protect our mind that the fire darts of the wicked don't enter our mind because we have the helmet of the hope of salvation, and those darts come at us and they glance off and we don't receive them into our mind. Our soul doesn't become discouraged because we are walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the God of hope is on our side and we are walking in him. And blessed be the God, the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Talked about that a little earlier. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We don't have to stay in this old body, but we can die to self. We can come to the foot of the cross and we can die to self. We can give up our will, everything we want in life, and we can resurrect a newness of life in Jesus Christ, experiencing the power of his resurrection, that God would be glorified. He says, we look at these things. He said in 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm just really thrilled and blessed with this thought. You know, we think about when we are empowered by Jesus Christ, it's not about us anymore, but it's about other people. It's about God. It's about bringing glory to God. You know, this is wonderful that we can hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto us and for the salvation that Jesus has given to us, the grace that Jesus has given to us when he died on the cross. His blood was shed. His blood is applied to us, but it's far greater than that. That is wonderful. Let's not stay there, but let's continue into meet and into helping others to come to that place, and then also moving on into discipleship and walking the Lord Jesus Christ and having hope, having this aura of Jesus Christ about them that is irresistible, and it draws people to Jesus Christ. When people look at us, they see Jesus Christ, and they are drawn to Jesus Christ because of that. Not because of us, but because of him. 1 John 3:3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know, used to when I think about purifying myself, I was thinking about all the things I could do, you know, living right and getting rid of this sin or getting rid of that sin. Well, that's not purity. That's filthy rags, isn't it? When we try to do it by our own works. He that purifieth himself even as he is pure, that is being so enthralled and so walking in the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is purification, my friends. Walking in Jesus Christ, realizing that there's nothing I can do to save myself, and I trust wholly and rely wholly on the blood of Jesus Christ to cover any and all sin I've ever will commit. I believe that with all my heart, and I walk in that, and I'm so enthralled with Jesus Christ that I live and breathe Jesus Christ. My whole life is consumed with Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus tells me to do, I will do. To live that way because of the God of hope who makes a way. I think Brother Wayne read that verse out of Jeremiah 29:11. I want to read the New King James Version. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God wants you to have hope. God wants you to believe. Remember that. When you are in a place where you feel like you're on the wrong side of the button, you feel like things are hopeless and things are not working out for you, remember, God wants you to have hope. God wants you to find your way to him. And not just to him, but to continue on in discipleship and helping others to come to him. That is God's will. God has a purpose for every one of us. And just wrapping this up, we're going to look at a couple words here that we talked about so far as hope. The God of hope. And then in our text verse, we had the word abounding. God wants us to be abounding in hope. Not just a little bit of hope, but abounding with hope. Complete and full. And in Hebrews 6:11, he wants us to have the full assurance of hope. That the hope that we are expecting, the thing that we are expecting, that we are going to be in the presence of God with Jesus Christ in heaven forever. We have the full assurance of that, that that will happen because God said it. Remember the immutability of God? When God says it, that's the way it is. You can't change that. It's truth. It's right. And then God wants us to be anchored in hope. He wants us to be secure in that hope and that anchor, that he is the God of hope. And no matter what comes at us, we are anchored in that hope. And then last but not least, God wants that hope to be a lively hope, a hope that is alive. that little life of Christ in you, just jumping up and down, just happy and full of joy, and Jesus is glorified. That is the will of God for us, his children. God is a God of hope. Let's kneel to pray.